Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning and to be able to share the word. I'm so excited to be able to continue in this series on finding strength. And the really neat thing that just really hit me as I was preparing this message was that God put this series in Pastor Craig's heart months ago, before COVID-19 was a pandemic around the world. And yet today's message is about finding strength to thrive in our circumstances. And I don't know about you, but that's something that I really need to hear right now, of how can I thrive in my circumstances? You know, my circumstances currently are way different than my norm, right? You know, we're waiting to get back to normal, whatever that looks like. But we just have all these things right now that are around us, you know, hard things, frustrating things, things that make us angry, things that make us sad, you know, things that are just make us feel insecure. But how can we thrive in those circumstances? So the bottom line of this series is this. Life does not always meet our expectations or even dreams, but finding joy and passion in the journey is a strength that God can give you. And man, I don't know about you, but that's what I want to hold on to. So take that away with you today, that it isn't, life does not always meet our expectation. You know, we weren't expecting this. We weren't expecting what's going on in the world around us right now. You know, but God can give us strength to thrive in these moments. So if you have your Bibles with you today, I'm going to invite you to open up to Philippians 4. We're going to be diving into quite a few little verses in there, and then some others as well that will appear on your screen. But just to start off, Philippians 4, 12 through 13 says this, and this is kind of our theme throughout the whole series last week and going on in these next few weeks, and it says this, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And so Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians from prison. And he's writing to this group of Christians, to this church in Philippi, and encouraging them about what it is to be content. You know, he's currently in this place of having little, right? You know, he's in prison. He's having the circumstances of just, this is not where I want to be. But he's also had these times where he's had more than enough. He's experienced these different circumstances. And so Paul was able to remind the Philippians, you know, this is how you can thrive in your circumstances, no matter what they are. And that's true for us still today. These words are so true. Another verse that's just, we're going to look through throughout this series. Exodus 15:2 says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. How beautiful is that? The Lord is my strength and my song. And today, I want to ask this question, and we should be able to learn what the answer is. How can we find strength to thrive in our circumstances? And I work with children here at Christ the King, and so I think the children's ministry answer would be, God, you know, that's how we find the strength to thrive in our circumstances. Boom, message done, right? No, but we're going to dive into it a little bit more this morning. But just as that passage in Exodus said, the Lord is my strength. And so we're going to dive into that this morning just to hear how the Lord is our strength. How do we thrive in these circumstances? What are some points that we can look at in order to thrive, in order to find that strength? Because, you know, God doesn't call us to live off of ourselves, off of our own strength. You know, God wants to be the strength within us. So the first point I want to look at today is this. Number one, adjust your focus. So when circumstances may not be going our way, we need to adjust our focus. Philippians 4:4 says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. And that's the NLT. In the NIV and the ESV and some other translations, it says it like this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So Paul doesn't say it just once, but he says it twice. Rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. You know, obviously, Paul's trying to get a point across here, right? So that's how we're going to adjust. We come from a state of oh my gosh, what's going on around me, to, okay, I need to find joy, that I need to rejoice, and it's in the Lord. And so in that, it's just like, man, how do I have joy in these circumstances? Like, I don't feel happy about them. I'm feeling pretty unhappy. I'm feeling insecure. I'm feeling frustrated. But I think one of the key points here is we need to look at what's the difference between happiness and joy. Because here Paul is saying, rejoice, have joy in the Lord. In a series that Pastor Greg Surratt did called The DNA of Joy, he said it like this: happiness is what happens to you, and joy is what's produced in you. So two totally different things. The DNA of joy and of happiness are different. Happiness is what happens to you, and joy is what is produced in you. You know, happiness is a cause and effect. You know, I'm sick, or, you know, school's closed and I can't be with all of my friends right now. This is a cause and effect. Happiness, it's taken from me, right? Unhappiness or happiness, it's what happens to you. You know, losing a loved one, of just losing your job, or of just not knowing what's next, or what does life look like. We lose our happiness, but yet joy can remain. You know, and in that, joy, it's not, man, you got to be joyful of what's happening there. You know, be joyful in the sickness. Be joyful that you can't visit your friends right now. Be joyful because of this and this and that. No. What does Philippians 4:4 say? It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. We're not joyful in our circumstance. It's not a, ooh, yay, you know, it's joyful in the Lord. That remains. Philippians 1:11 says, be filled with the fruit. And in Paul's other letter to the Galatians, he talks about the fruits of the Spirit and joy being one of those fruits. So be filled with that fruit. Be filled with that joy is what Paul is saying. Be filled with joy despite the circumstance. Our joy in the Lord remains. It's not a joy about what's going on around us, but yet the constant is the joy in the Lord. You know, we can be confused about what that looks like, but how can we pull those apart? How can we adjust our focus from just looking at our circumstance or what's happening around us, and how we can find joy? Happiness, it ebbs and it flows, but joy can be constant. Last fall, I had come back from Guatemala, was living down there as a missionary the last 4 years, came back at the end of August, and then got engaged and ended up planning a wedding within 10 weeks. So it was a very busy couple months. A lot of change, a lot of circumstances, and I just remember there were some times when I was like, man, where is my joy? You know, I think just the change of culture and just the got to do this and this and this. And I was feeling unhappy. And yet I'm like, getting married's supposed to be great, right? I'm supposed to be happy. But yet out of this cause and effect of all this is going on around me, I just needed a plant of just my joy come from the Lord. And I hadn't lost the Lord. But yet if I take my eyes off of him, I could. And so I can lose my joy, I felt like. You know, through the reentry, through adapting back to culture here, through losing friends and my normal routine there, and coming back into this and being swept into the American way of go, go, go. So how do we thrive in those circumstances? And I had to realize then, too, that although my fiancé at the time is a wonderful, wonderful man, love Jack, he could neither be my source of joy. that was something that only came from the Lord. It couldn't be a joy in what was to come or being excited about marriage, but it had to be rooted in the Lord, that is where our joy comes from. Not our joy can't come from our circumstance. Our joy can't come from someone else. Our joy comes from the Lord and has to be rooted in him. James 1:2 said, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. This passage, it hits me every time of just, you know, it's countercultural. We don't think about having joy when trials come our way or when we're suffering or when we don't like the circumstances around us. But yet James says, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. You know, Job in the Old Testament, we read about his life and how he just, it was full of suffering. He lost his wife and he lost his children and he lost his livestock. He lost his business. He lost everything around him. And yet in Job 1:21, we read that he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. So even through his loss, even through his circumstances, his focus was on praising the Lord. And that needs to be our focus as well. That the Lord is not changing, and that we can be joyful in him, and that can be our constant. Number two, bring your worries to God. Bring them to God. All that's going on around you, whatever those worries are. 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all of your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. Other translations read, give all your anxieties, give all of your burdens to God, for he cares for you. Over the last few months, and just as newlyweds, you know, Jack and I, we've had a few worries and anxieties or, you know, burdens on us. And I just remember sitting down one evening, and I told Jack, I was like, hey, you know, look what it says here in 1 Peter 5:7. You know, give all of your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. You know, give him your burdens. And so I was like, you know, say it. I give you my burdens because God cares for me, you know. I'm giving you my burdens because you care for me, you know, crying out to God until we truly believe the promise in that, that God would take our burdens because he cared for us. So he said it over and over and over again, making that the promise in our lives. God, I give you my burdens because you care for me, making that a truth in your life and in your circumstances. That becomes your strength. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Telling God what you need and thank him for what he's done. And then we will receive this peace in our lives. So just like it said in 1 Peter, he wants to take our worries. He wants to take our burdens. He wants to take our cares. He wants to take him upon himself. We don't need to hold on to it. We don't need to just use our own strength to try to just get through the circumstance. God wants to give us his. He wants to take the worries and the burdens from us. But we have to connect with him and bring them to him. You know, through the fall, I think so oftentimes I'm just like, you know, life is good. It's easy. You know, I got this. So in those moments of like, man, I feel rocked right now. You know, why is this not easy? You know, why can't being engaged just feel beautiful? In those moments of like, I feel like everything's crumbling. Like, I don't feel like I have my same capacity, but there's all this change going on in my life. I was just like, I'm going, I'm pushing forward. But God doesn't want us to just push forward. God wants to push us forward. He wants to be that strength. So I can't just sit and say, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I need to say, God, do it. It takes a change. I have to bring them to God. Not just pull myself up by my bootstraps and just keep on going through because I've done it in the past. But no, that the past, that was when God was working my life too. I have to remember that. It wasn't me. It wasn't Sarah that was getting through the circumstances. It was God's strength within me. And so the same time in those moments, God, I bring you my worries. I bring you my burdens because you care for me. And you will give me that peace. It's not my own peace. It's the peace that you bring to me. We have to be connected with him. You know, I'm terrible at it, but journaling is a beautiful thing of writing down, what are your cares? What are your burdens? What are your worries? What are these things that you need in your life right now? What is it that is troubling you? What is your loss? What are your fears? What are your insecurities? And go back and thank God for what he's done. Thank God for the ways that he's cared for you in that time. And you can do that in looking back in those journals. See how God is moving. Stay connected with him. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. During those circumstances, it's the time more than ever to be connected to God, to be in prayer. That's communication with God. That's you talking to him and you listening for his answers. We must stay connected. If we're trying to isolate ourselves or just expect it to happen, good luck. And God says, bring them to me. Bring me your burdens. Pray about everything. Point number three, focus on God rather than on your circumstances. Don't dwell on your circumstances. It's easy to be caught up in them or just to see the loss and just to wonder, how am I going to move past this point? You know, having lost my dad, how am I going to move forward? How is life going to be the same without him there, without the adventures, without the fun? You know, with my spouse, having lost a spouse, how can I move forward? How is life going to be the same? You know, if my marriage is crumbling, if I'm in this circumstance of where is it going to go? What if divorce is before me? How do you move forward? But focus on God rather than the actual circumstance, because God gives us promises to move through those circumstances. We have to follow him, to really follow him, not make it a, yeah, I believe in God, but to truly follow his words. Be in the word. Philippians 4:8 says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Focus it on the truth, on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think on these things. Focusing on that rather than on our circumstance. You know, in those times in the fall, I kind of was just trying to push forward. You know, here's my goal. I got to make this happen. I got to do this. But I wasn't having my devotion every day. I wasn't staying connected in the word. I felt this distance, you know. But if we focus on God rather than all of this is going on around you, it's amazing just the strength that he gives us to thrive in those circumstances. Because right now, if we're just focused on the circumstances of just, you know, stocks have dropped, or we've just lost a loved one, or marriage is crumbling, or sickness, or job insecurity, or not having a graduation from high school or college like you thought you would, of having closure to this season, what does that look like? But let's focus on God, focus on his truths and his promises rather than those circumstances. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. He will withhold no good thing. Know that he is our sun, He's the one that's going to light our way, direct our steps, and he's our shield. He's going to protect us from what's coming at us, for what's ahead of us. Let's focus on the truth, not just on the facts of what we can see right now. Because the facts don't always add up. They don't always convey the truth. Facts can say one thing, and the truth can say another. If we go back and look at Genesis, we'll look at the story of Abraham and Sarah. God had promised them a son. And yet, in their old age, 20-some years had passed, and they still didn't have a son. And the facts would say, they're never going to have one. She's too old. And I can imagine Sarah in that state of thinking, wow, like God promised me this, but I don't see how it can happen. You know, the facts aren't lining up. This isn't possible. How do we cope with a new reality? But yet, 25 years later, they thought they'd never have this son, but the truth was different. God's truth was that they would have a son. So these truths that we read in the Word, these truths that God has given us in the Bible, they're what we can hold on to. We can focus on these things, focusing on God rather than on our circumstances. You know, so how do we have joy as we look at the facts? We need to put it in the truth that God's not showing up late. You know, if you see your child in the seizure and think, what's going to happen? You know, you rush into the hospital in an ambulance and think, I don't know. You know, it's hard to hold on to our joy in the moment. But yet, if we're rooted in God, our joy remains in the Lord, even in these uncertain times. Of seeing someone get really sick, of finding out you have cancer, going through those surgeries or through that chemo. Hold on to the truth that God is with you and he takes your burdens. They're not moments of yay, not smiling, but it's God is here. God is here in the midst of these circumstances. Our God is good, and rejoicing can be difficult. But God wants to redeem these moments in our lives. God wasn't absent in those moments. He's there, and he is good, and he is sovereign. Let's focus on God rather than on our circumstance. Point number four, keep pressing on. Also known as don't give up. Keep pushing forward. Philippians 4:9, it says, keep putting into practice all that you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Keep putting into practice all that you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. What you hear now, or in the good times, when we're soaking into the Word, when we're absorbing it, when we have our roots planted down deep along that stream of living water, as it talks about in Psalm 1, we experience this nourishment, right? It's for those times later when we experience the circumstances around us that we keep putting into practice all that we've learned. It's for the times that aren't that hard that we must build up this endurance and that we must hear these words and these promises so that when those times come, we put it into practice. And you know what? Just a couple of verses ago, we heard that we would experience his peace. But now, in this verse, just a couple later, it says, now we will experience that the God of peace is with us. So it's not only that we would experience this peace, we would have the God of peace be right here with us. That is strength to thrive in your circumstance. Philippians 3:14 says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Keep pressing on. Don't give up. In Daniel chapter 3, we hear about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how they were going to be thrown into the fiery pit. And they believed that God would save them. But yet, at that moment, they didn't know if God would save them or not. But they had faith. They had confidence in Christ, that he was with them. And that's what we need to have too. Confidence that in the fire, God will be right there with us as he was for them. He saved their lives. He made a statement. He made the gospel known through their faith and how they lived. Keep pressing on. Don't give up. Do what God has instructed you to do. His peace is going with you. He is the God of peace, and he is with you. You know, for Jack and I, as we were planning our wedding, and as we were pulling all these pieces together, you know, I could try, and in the end result, it was like, wow, they pulled off a great wedding in 10 weeks, and it was just the most beautiful, amazing day as God just joined us together in marriage, but it took so many people to make that day possible. It wasn't my doing or Jack's doing. It was God coming together and providing the people of him coming alongside and providing the peace. But it was truly the body of Christ coming alongside of us and being that strength in that moment. The day before, people were there dropping off tables and chairs and setting those up, putting benches together for the ceremony, putting together arches of flowers and bouquets for our tables. There were people decorating. There were people that day that were helping to direct and park cars. There were people praying over us. It was a joint effort that made that day possible and that made that the thing thrive. That was God. That was the strength of God and his bride, the church, the body of Christ, that lifted us up, that we couldn't do that on our own. And I want to close with this. You know, the only thing predictable in life is its unpredictability. The only thing predictable is unpredictability. We know that life is unpredictable. Jesus knew that as he came to earth, and it's going to be unpredictable until he comes back. But what eternal promises root us? Let's look at Matthew 28. This whole thing's not on the screen, but I'm just going to read this. That then the 11 disciples, they left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciple, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What eternal promises root us? Look at Matthew 28:18. He says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. You know, these are some of Jesus's last words to his disciples. He says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. God has all authority, all of it, over all of our circumstances. He has authority over good and evil. God has the authority over storms and tornadoes and tsunamis. God has authority over all the plants and animals, all the species. God has authority over invisible animals, the bacteria, the viruses, the parasites, the germs. God has authority over industries and businesses. God has authority over education. God has authority over the crime and violence in our world. God has authority over the church, his bride. God has authority over every one of our souls. I was just reading this devotional from Desiring God, from John Piper. It was one that he had preached 21 years ago in 1998, November of 1998. And it was so true today that God has all authority. All of it. Over death and life and sickness and pain, insecurity, over jobs, over viruses. God says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. His authority remains true, and he says, he's never going to leave you. He will give you the strength to thrive in all situations. John Piper said, though he giveth or he taketh, God, his loved ones, never forsaketh. God will never forsake you. God will be right with you as the God of peace accompanying you through your circumstance. We don't need to worry about that. So adjust your focus in these circumstances. Bring your worries and burdens to God. Focus on God rather than your circumstances, and keep pressing on. Know that he has all authority forever and ever. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to dive into your word, Lord. Thank you for this gift, scripture, that you give us. Thank you for these promises that help us and give us strength to thrive in every circumstance. Lord, you are good. You are never late. You are sovereign. Thank you for these words that you put on Paul's heart as he sat in prison. He said, rejoice. Lord, we want to rejoice in you in every circumstance. Fill us with this joy that is a fruit that comes from you, from being a part of your family. We know that you have all authority. Lord, let us hold on to that promise. You will never leave us. You are with us to the end of the age. Father, we thank you for your love. That though we can't receive physical hugs right now for many, that we can just feel your embrace, God, with these words and this truth that you have given us. Help us, Father, to walk boldly in everything that comes our way, in the unpredictable that is life. And be firmly rooted in you. Hold on to your strength, not our own. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen. So remember, life does not always meet our expectations or even dreams, but finding joy and passion in the journey is a strength that God can give you.